Is your business ready for growth? At Krogan Colonial Bank, we recognize the ambition of business owners like you. Our commercial lending services can provide the flexible financing necessary to expand your operations, invest in new opportunities, or manage your cash flow effectively. Don't put your business ambitions on the back burner. Turn to Krogan Colonial Bank to help you move your business forward. Krogan Colonial Bank, helping good people make good decisions. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, all loans subject to credit approval.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, we heard earlier in the week about the sale or potential sale of the Jervis Street shopping centre, as well as another of Ireland's beloved Dublin institutions, particularly by News Talkers, and that was Peter's Pub has gone on the market. A place of refuge for us, for some of us here who work at the station, and indeed, best of luck to Enda with that sale. But is Irish retail in a state of decline, or is it simply a changing of the guard? A man with some knowledge of the space is Neil Bannon of Bannon, who are independently owned Irish commercial property consultancy. I'm also joined as well by Vinnie O'Brien, who's a retail and e-commerce consultant, to discuss this very topic. And Neil, we might start with you. The Jervis Street shopping centre, again, on the market, appears to be at a valuation substantially less than what it was valued at previously. Does that tell its own story, or is there something else you want to say?
I think it does tell a story, and if you look at this, three big sales have taken place in recent times. The square in Tallaght was sold for half the price it was back in 2018-19. Blanchardstown was about half the price it was sold at before, but to Goldman, and now it looks like Jervis is going to be about half the value it was about five years ago. So what's interesting is that if you look at the rent from those three assets, the rent's down about 10%, but the value's down 50%.
Why is that? Because that, to me now, and you've obviously, you know, given reference and relevant reference, but why would that be? Why would the rent not be down the same amount?
The rent, if you look at the dynamics of the market, we've got very low vacancy. We had the COVID sort of impact, and then we've seen any vacancy that's been...
But would you not say that if a shopping centre like that halves in value, that it can't be trading as well as it was trading when it was double the value?
The reality is they're trading probably better than they were when they were double the value, to be honest with you. But you've seen a massive exodus of what we call the Brexit refugees. You've seen Debenhams go, you've seen Arcadia go, Topshop, Topman, you've seen New Look now recently go, Karen Millen.
And New Look were paying somewhere around €1 million in rent in the Jervis Street Centre.
And as probably I say no disrespect to New Look, but it is disrespectful to New Look. If you've been in their stores in the last few years, you would have seen what was happening. The poor stock, we monitor their turnover. In some cases, their turnover to rent ratio was 30-40%. It was an unsustainable business. But all those stores will be mopped up very, very quickly. And we've seen it with Homebase. They went just late last year, and all of their stores have been taken by The Range, B&Q, etc. So we're not seeing failures leading to vacancy. We're seeing that roll over very quickly. We had 18 vacant stores on Grafton Street after COVID. We now have two.
So, yeah. I can see the vibrancy on the likes of Grafton Street in terms of, you know, you're right that their vacancy rate is definitely much, but I am struggling to see, you know, I still see a lot of issues in collective issues in shopping centres right across the country. In terms of you know, ability to trade. If you look at the insolvencies, most of them are retail based. So I wouldn't want to paint too bright a picture. On the basis that I certainly can hear that there are plenty of businesses struggling.
I get that. Our business, we collect a lot of rent. We manage about a third of Ireland's shopping centres and retail parks, so we collect a lot of rent. And to be blunt, the easier it is to collect the rent, the more profitable my business is, because the longer I spend collecting it, the harder it is. And we are not seeing a massive amount of distress. We did have issues during COVID because it was closed, but most of those were dealt with through negotiation. So the narrative around the sector is quite negative. But if you look, Blanchardstown, for instance, where we're leasing agents, the footfall there is higher than it was pre-COVID. There's more people going there every week. There's, I think, three vacant stores in the entire...
But as the property owner in Blanchardstown, that must be very frustrating that you're putting more people through the door and your business is worth half the price that it was. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, and that's why there's a new owner in Blanchetown, there's a new owner in Tallaght, there'll be a new one in Jervis Street. And what those guys, you talked about changing the guard there, and that's exactly what's happening. So the retail sector has got a lot more complex, shorter leases, upward and downward rent reviews. It's not as simple as just buying something and waiting for 35 years for the lease to expire. So we're changing from institutional ownership to people who are very data driven. And you see the people who bought this are very data focused. And there's a lot of data on the retail sector. So if you're willing to collect the data and analyse it and have that expertise, I think you can make a lot of money in the sector.
Okay. Well that's a strong point of view. Let's hear what Vinnie O'Brien, retail and e-commerce consultant. Vinnie, you're very welcome. I haven't spoken to you in a while. I hope you're well.
All good, thanks, Bobby. Very good to be on. Thanks for having me along. Interested to hear Neil's point of view there. I thought it was quite telling, to be honest with you. But there may be another side to it that I suppose I've thought about since we last spoke as well, and hopefully I can just get some of that across.
What are your retailing clients telling you? Tell us, because I'm somewhat skeptical about Neil's analysis as well, as you probably heard from my questioning. So what are your thoughts on this?
The point he made, I think, about being data driven is probably right. So there's certain sectors of people who are now getting into it. Look at Frasers in the UK. They've got a very laser focused view on how they're approaching the way that they are buying up properties and then bringing them in. But if you look at the people who've left, just Jervis as an example, we've had Forever 21, we've Debenhams, we now have New Look. There's a profile of brands that are going in there that just doesn't suit anymore. And the point about distress is probably one of the challenges as well. I think you look at all these retailers, their outlook is really poor for 2025 off the back of a really tough 2024. And the trading volume has been kept up, but it's to the detriment of profitability. So you look at the order volumes have gone up in 2024 because most people were discounting. That type of model is no longer viable. And I was at the kind of a launch of Amazon.ie in their headquarters in Dublin this week. And we had about 150 brands in the room expecting that we're going to get a date for the launch of this behemoth that we're all familiar with. But 90% of the people in the room had asked, are they ready to create a listing or put a product on there available for sale? They weren't. They haven't even started the process of registration, which to me is a worry because it's not something that's going to go away. I think they've signed long-term contracts with people like Onpost for delivery support around the country. They can do next day delivery, pretty much guaranteed anywhere in the country. And they've been testing this for 3 years now. Their facility in Ballinasloe is 650,000 square feet. It's not going to go away anytime soon.
So what you're saying there is that retailers really aren't reacting in the way that they should to the threat that is online. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. And it's not something that's happened overnight. It's been around. I've been in this space now for nearly 20 years and been trying to help that evolution. So that changing of the guard should be happening. But even walking around after the meeting the other day, looking at some of the old people that would have dealt with old clients during COVID, and these would have been locally generational owned businesses that would have been in town, the doors are shut. So who's going to start filling these voids as they come up? And Neil's made the point about vacancy rates are low. There's no profile of brand or category that I see that can fill them with longevity. Now, it's interesting to note that in Jervis alone, I think it's about 35-36% of the tenants in there are food retailers. That's not something, again, that can continue, I think, into the long term. So we do need a focus on it, and we need a strategy for how we support retail into the future. And it's not the way we've done it up to this point, in my opinion.
Neil, maybe you won't agree with this, but is there too much space for retail? Do we now need a smaller footprint, even if we take shopping centres, high streets, in the way people consume? Are we changing the fabric of what we've got enough for the way people are consuming it?
I think there's two issues there. One is relativity, right? So we haven't built a new shopping centre in Ireland since 2010. The last one to open was Balbriggan in 2010. So there's the individual Tesco's and
which means then that a lot of the stock is becoming aged, becoming tired.
Well, the other point is there's 800,000 more people working in Ireland than the last time we built a shopping centre.
Right.
That's a 47% increase in the workforce. So the amount of people out there that can spend money in these places has gone up dramatically, but we haven't got any more stock. So in terms of the supply-demand issue, we haven't this stock of empty shopping centres. Like, we did a piece recently on the growth of leisure in centres, and it's much more prolific in the UK and the US because they had so much more vacancy over there. But in terms of that, the reason we don't see vacancy is probably because we didn't overbuild and we haven't built in a long time.
Well, there is some examples, Ballymun Town Centre, Ferry Bank, some of these that just never worked.
There's stories in both of those I can tell you that have little to do with the marketplace, but certainly...
Maybe I picked two bad examples.
Ballymun is owned, it was bought by the local authority and knocked down.
Yeah.
Because they weren't happy with it and they wanted to reinvent it. And we've been in there and given them some advice on that. The Ferry Bank is owned by a well-known Irish retailer who's decided not to open the scheme. So that's okay. What I can say about that. But in terms of, and there were a couple of overbuilt, there were locations where people built things they shouldn't have built, like everything that happened in the Celtic Tiger. There was one in Limerick and there was one in Longford. But it's not the message of the market. Like, there are 211 shopping centres and retail parks in Ireland and the average vacancy is single digits.
Okay. We'll have to leave it there. Vinny, I'm sorry I didn't have more time to spend with you, but I'll talk to you again. Thank you for joining us. Neil Bannon, always good to hear your view. I may not agree with everything you say, but that's okay. That makes for a good debate. But thanks for joining us.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.